The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Great to be with you on this Tuesday broadcast. Lots to get to on today's show. Joe Biden emerged out of the bunker yesterday to give a... Well, first, I guess he delivered some pizzas, which was kind of funny, at least when you consider what the heckler was saying. He gave a short speech in an... This was odd as well, an empty warehouse with seven or eight pods set up for, I guess journalists. That was it. And he came out and blamed Donald Trump for all of the violence in the United States. We've got a few clips that we'll play from Vice President Biden later on, and also some clips from Donald Trump. He gave another lengthy interview to a reporter at Fox News, this time Laura Ingraham. She sat down with him yesterday, and we've got some, I think, some really interesting clips from that exchange as well. A lot more on the ongoing violence in American cities. There was a shooting in Los Angeles that involved a black suspect, and immediately rioting set off in Los Angeles. So that's just, I guess, the new normal. Whenever there's an incident, a shooting, a police officer shooting in self-defense, or anything, any shooting, if it involves a black suspect, it's liable to set off widespread rioting and looting. We'll also talk about, again, the ongoing media whitewash. And you look at what Joe Biden said yesterday, and then what the media comes in and says. It's a coordinated effort to lie and deceive, to tell you that what's happening is not really happening, or if it is happening, it's surely Donald Trump's fault. But just step back for a moment, step away from the politics of it all, and consider what's happening in the world today. We've noted numerous times this year about just how crazy this year has been, 2020. And I think about all of those lukewarm ministers back in the late 80s, the early 1990s, who complained about Herbert Armstrong's preoccupation with prophecy. He spent too much time, he devoted too much space in the magazines and booklets to prophetic subjects. We don't want to focus on that anymore. We don't want to be preoccupied with prophecy. Some of them said, we want to have a little fun with prophecy. We want, and in fact, they made fun of God's prophecies, because the true prophecies of God, the sure word of God's prophecy, it embarrassed them. They were embarrassed by the truth of God. They didn't have the courage to proclaim God's warning to this dying world. They didn't have the faith to step out and preach what this world desperately needs. Think of that station manager in Seattle who called the World Tomorrow program in 1989, soon after the Berlin Wall came down, because he had listened to the World Tomorrow program for years, playing right there on that Seattle station. He knew what Mr. Armstrong said about the reunification of Europe, about the seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. So here he sees the wall come down and Europe come together. It didn't happen just all at once. But he called the Worldwide Church of God. This, by the way, is 3.5 years after Mr. Armstrong died, almost 4 years. And so he gets a hold of the station, or rather the director of the World Tomorrow, and says, hey, you guys have been, you've been proclaiming this for years. Is this significant? Does this signify that we're in the end time, that end time events are upon us? And the Worldwide Church of God representative said, well, let's not get too carried away here. And they actually printed in their own newspaper that the station manager from Seattle went away disappointed. He was disappointed. As the Worldwide Church of God was already backing away from so many of these long-standing prophecies, they were already saying to those who had the courage, don't prophesy. Prophesy not. Amos 6:1 says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Woe to them who are at ease. God is wrathful toward those who are at ease in his church. How many of them who drifted off to sleep? Well, they're so far removed from the truth. You wonder what it would take to jolt them today. But just look at the world today. How many of those lukewarm Christians are at ease right now, looking at what's happening to this world? There's no excuse in any time period. But at least back in the 1990s, you could better understand why so many people would be out of touch with reality, even as the wall was coming down in Europe. Well, for many lukewarm Christians in America, that's far away, and it's still going to take some time. It's not going to happen just like that. It's not going to be overnight. And so they went to sleep. God says in verse 3, you that put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near. You put far away the evil day. And what does that do? Well, it causes the seed of violence to come near. It opens the way for more violence. The closer we get to the end of this age, the more at ease these lukewarm Christians become. You know about the prophecy in Amos 2. This battle between those who prophesy and those who say, don't prophesy. Prophesy not. You gave the Nazarites wine to drink, it says, and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. That's what so many lukewarm ministers said after Mr. Armstrong's death. Don't you prophesy. We're not going to prophesy like we did before. We're going to have a little bit of fun with prophecy instead. As they got away from the Bible, a third of your Bible, think of it, a third of your Bible is prophecy. And where would we be? Where would our understanding be this year without Bible prophecy? That's our refuge. That I was telling this to the students the other day. The crazier this world gets, the more we've got to seek refuge in the Word of God, because that's the sure word. That's the foundation. That's the key to mental stability in a world where there's so much mental instability. So much mental derangement. So much satanic reasoning. Listen to Herbert Armstrong from a sermon he gave back in 1984, clip 14.
The churches of this world use perhaps not over 2%, 1 to 2% of the Bible. They never quote more than 1 or 2% of the various verses or parts of the Bible. I don't know whether you realize that or not.
Now, he's talking there about the churches of this world. The churches that only use 1 or 2% of the Bible. Forget about the non-churches that just completely dismiss the Bible in its entirety. But the churches, he says, they only use 1 or 2% of the Bible. They certainly don't get into prophecy. Think about all of the churches that are so enthusiastically supportive of American government all of a sudden because they've got a president that favors them. But how many of them do you hear prophesying, preaching, proclaiming the sure word of Bible prophecy? Mr. Armstrong went on to say this, clip 15.
It's time for plain speaking, brethren. These things are actually taking place, and they're all foretold in the Bible. And you don't find the Catholic or the Protestant churches quoting the Bible. They don't quote these prophecies. They don't dare. And no church on earth is quoting them but this one.
No church on earth. He died just a couple years after that statement there, that clip. A couple years after that was recorded. And his church, there were over 100,000 people in the Worldwide Church of God, the church that that man raised up. Well, God did it through him. And collectively, they went to sleep. As ministers got up in front of the pulpit and said, "Don't you prophesy. We're going to have a little fun with prophecy. We're not going to be preoccupied with it like we used to be." There's another prophecy in Micah 2, verse 6. It says, "Prophesy you not, say they to them that prophesy." So even the ones that are out there prophesying, speaking for God, warning the world, they're being told by these lukewarm Christians, these lukewarm teachers, "Don't prophesy." Verse 8, it says, "Even of late my people has risen up as an enemy. You pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely as men averse from war." See, they're just cowards spiritually. They've stopped prophesying for God. They're too weak to fight for God. They're no longer backed by God's power, so they don't speak the truth with boldness. They don't speak the truth with clarity and conviction. They don't tell you why what's happening is happening and where it's leading and how it's going to get worse even. They won't tell you this. They're averse from war. We've got to fight for God's truth. We've got to fight for the prophecies of God. How come there's so many prophecies like, I didn't even get into Ezekiel 13. Read the first few verses there. But we've read Amos 6. You know about Amos 2. Here is Micah 2. "Prophesy you not, say they to them that prophesy." Here are people of God, people who had the truth. And they're out there not just silent. They're trying to prevent the true prophecies of God from being proclaimed. That's what this is saying. And here we are at a time when the world needs this message more than ever before. Back up to verse 1. This is still in Micah 2. It says, "Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. And they covet fields and take them by violence, and houses and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage." Like Genesis 6 says, they're just thinking about evil, or their hearts are on evil continually. And they're thinking about abusing other human beings and stealing or destroying their property, oppressing the family of man. Is this happening today? Is this prophesied? Micah 7, same book here, just a few pages over. Look at verse 2. Micah 7 and verse 2, it says, "The good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net." They hunt after their brothers. That's what those Antifa thugs did the other night in Portland. Those conservative fellows that probably shouldn't have been out there in the first place. As dangerous as that climate is. It's on the mayor. It's on the governor. They want it. They don't want help from the feds. They don't want help from the community. They just want to see their city burn, I guess. So here are these two Antifa thugs armed with guns. Well, a handful of them, or at least one had a gun. And someone said, here's two of them. Here's two of them. We found two of the Trump supporters. And so they shot one of them in cold blood. Hunting human beings down like animals. Just like the days of Noah. That's what Jesus said it would be like in these last days. Where our hearts would be on violence and evil continually. Every Monday, the Chicago Sun-Times has to update their readers on all of the shootings from one weekend to the next. 55 people in Chicago were shot over the weekend. 55. 10 of them killed. 10 people killed. 10 in just one weekend. Last weekend, it was 66 people shot. 5 of them killed. It's just routine. It's just happening every week. The New York Post had a story yesterday. The city surpassed 1,000 shootings for the year on Sunday, according to NYPD. It shows an average of nearly 10 people fell victim to gun violence each day over the last 4 weeks. With 4 more months left in 2020, New York logged 1,004 shootings as of August 30th. Last year, there had been just 537 by that time. So it's doubled in just 1 year. The shootings in New York City. It quotes one Brooklyn police officer saying, Mr. Mayor, that would be Bill de Blasio. It's time to stop calling New York the safest big city. It's not safe anymore. It's violent. It's violent, like Chicago, like Portland, like Seattle. This shooting in Los Angeles, the Post also reported on that. It said protests erupted in southern Los Angeles on Monday night after the fatal shooting of a black man by police. Talks about the demonstrations that took place and then the protests. I saw some footage of this car just ramming into the storefront, breaking down, shattering the glass, the windows. A car, a vehicle. Just something you'd see out of a third world nation. It says the sheriff's, well, backing up here, the man who was killed, identified by a local Black Lives Matter group as Dazan Kazee, was riding his bike when the deputies tried to stop him for code violations related to his bike riding. That's the report from Black Lives Matter. Somehow I think there might be a little bit more to the story. But if it suits the narrative, he's just happily riding along on his bike and he gets gunned down by the police. Happens all the time, right? Happens every day. It's genocide. The sheriff's department said the man fled the scene and a fight ensued when the deputies caught up to him. The man allegedly punched a cop in the face, dropping the clothes he was holding along with the firearm. The deputies then opened fire, striking the man. So yes, a little bit more to the story. But never mind the details. Just let the rioting begin. It's another opportunity for violence. It's another opportunity for bloodshed. It's another opportunity to think and to plot on our beds, like Micah said in his prophecy, and then to get up and to carry out these evil acts, chasing down, hunting down your brother with a weapon. It's like that quote I gave to you last week from the Trumpet, that when you're saying it's embedded into the DNA of everyone, well, that means it's never going to be solved. And all it takes is one more incident in a nation of 330 million people. It just takes one incident, a little bit of social media, someone on the scene with the phone, everybody's got a phone. And then it confirms everyone's worst suspicions. And the thugs take to the streets. It's astounding how many of these individuals have long criminal records. All three of the ones that were shot in that Kenosha outbreak of violence last week. Well, these are just criminals that are taking to the streets. I believe the shooter in Portland, He was arrested. He was arrested for something involving a firearm not that long ago. But he's let back out onto the streets, and then he kills a man in cold blood. The lawyer, by the way, for that 17-year-old that shot those three individuals in Kenosha, he laid out his case, and it's a pretty compelling case. He was on Fox News last night saying, look, this is self-defense. Here's why the 17-year-old was there. Yes, he had a firearm. And this is what the mob did. This is how the mob chased him down. This is how the mob hunted him down. And then he says at the end of spelling out his case, and yet, for shooting in self-defense, that's his position. This 17-year-old boy is in jail, charged with murder. And what about those who assaulted him? Are they in jail? What about those who burned the city down? Are they in jail? What about those who destroyed businesses? That 17-year-old boy, by the way, was there to protect one business, left out of three, that this business owner wanted to try to save. This is America today, just a little small town in southern Wisconsin, that's all. How do you explain this? How do you explain all of this without Bible prophecy as our guide? If you study the Philadelphia Trumpet, you know why what's happening is happening. Tomorrow's news today, this article, this classic article now, over 4 years old, January 2016, the roots of America's dangerous turn left. It's dangerous. The direction that the radical left is taking the United States and Britain too, to a lesser extent, but the same movement. Revelation 12:12, it says, reveals that Satan is the one behind it. The devil's full of wrath, and he's gotten control of the government of this land. This is before the election later in the year when God intervened, didn't he? He intervened mercifully when we didn't deserve it, but he intervened to save America temporarily. But as far as the radical left is concerned, we were telling you, not just 4 years ago, Herbert Armstrong was telling you this decades ago, but as my father wrote, the people want to bring this system down. They're deceived. Our people don't understand their Bibles as they once did. They don't understand the many scriptures about Satan the devil. He has his agenda against America. He's got an agenda. He's carrying it out. He wants to bring our nations down. He wants to blot out the name of Israel forever. That's why there's so much violent, vile, evil behavior whitewashed away by the allies of the radical left in news media. They just camouflage it. Or they report something that's a total inversion of the truth. Going back to this article from 2016, listen to this. And this was when the incidents like in Baltimore and Ferguson, that was in the news in 2014-15-ish. But it says here, in Baltimore, authorities are working hard to convict policemen involved in the death of Freddie Gray. Yet this man was a drug addict and a dealer with a long criminal record. If these people are truly looking for justice, why are they going after the police? You see, it's just like today. They hold up the criminal as some kind of a martyr, a saint, and then they go after the police. How do you explain it? How do you explain that kind of derangement? That kind of inversion of justice? It says, what will happen when the police are rendered powerless and the military is unprepared? This is in 2016. Again, the Trumpet prepared you. With Bible prophecy serving as our guide, You had an accurate forecast. What happens when the police are powerless and the military is unprepared? It says once the police are handicapped and can't do anything, it won't be long before cities burn. And he cites Isaiah 1 and verse 7. That's a prophecy of cities burning. You remove law enforcement and it won't be long before cities burn. My father said this, even if the demonstrators don't know anything about communism or the radical left, they're still being stirred up by the radical left, the communists, and those who know how to foment unrest. See, they're there fomenting it, these communists and their allies in the media. As my father wrote 4.5 years ago, this is all part of the left's plan to destroy the police. And now you see these movements. City after city, defund the police. Handcuff the police. He says you can't take over a government and run it unless you get rid of the police who are loyal to the system. So there's the spirit behind this, of course. It's coming from the devil, the god of this world. He wants to destroy the system and all those who are loyal to the system. Here's President Trump from last night talking about just how far to the left, just how the radical left has gained control of the Democrat Party, clip 7.
The Democrats have lost control of the radical left. And if you look at Bernie and the, I call it the manifesto that was agreed to with Biden and his group, that's further left than Bernie ever was. They won't be able to control these people. These people have lost control of these people. And it's hurting them.
To put it mildly, it's hurting them. It's hurting the nation. To see all of them just completely surrender to these evil anti-government forces. Promoters of violence, inciting violence, fomenting the violence, agitating for civil war, agitating for a race war. This is the dangerous track that we're on. The president went on to say this, clip 8.
Because they just do what's the easiest path. That's not the easy path. That's a very dangerous path. Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization. You remember pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. That was the first time I ever heard of Black Lives Matter. I said, that's a terrible name. It's so discriminatory. It's bad for black people. It's bad for everybody.
It's bad for everyone, this movement, this Marxist movement. Increasingly, he's becoming a lone voice calling out the evil of this organization and those who support it. When we come back, we'll play some of those clips from Joe Biden in his short speech yesterday in Pittsburgh. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Flurry's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td
at kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
Earlier this year in the March issue of the Trumpet magazine, my father made this incredible statement, really, this is on America has been fundamentally transformed. But he said in the piece that the radical left is far worse than communism and Marxism. So what we're seeing in this movement, this satanic movement, is worse than Marxism. It's worse than communism. He says, these people believe the end justifies any means. They will lie, defame, slander anything they have to do to get rid of Trump. And we've seen it, haven't we? 4 years of it, nonstop. This was Joe Biden yesterday in his speech in the warehouse, clip two.
Does anyone believe there'll be less violence in America if Donald Trump is reelected?
Does anyone think about that for a second? Does anyone believe there would be less violence in America if Donald Trump is reelected? That's a presidential candidate telling the general public that if my opponent is reelected, there will be more violence. That's on his campaign platform, you could say. If you don't vote for me, there's going to be more violence. And that was not a misstatement. The entire speech was on a teleprompter. In fact, his campaign proudly tweeted out that same statement soon after the speech. So it's hard to believe, I know, that he would say something like that out loud, but he did it. Then they tweeted it. That's their strategy. All the violence and the mayhem on the streets, it's Donald Trump's fault, and unless you vote me in, it's going to get worse. That's what Kamala Harris said in June. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. The mayor of Washington, D.C., Muriel Bowser, she was interviewed the other day and said that she's worried about this country descending into a race war. I mean, these are the people that are fomenting it. These are the people that are inciting it. She didn't have enough policemen available Thursday night when people were leaving the campaign, or rather the RNC at the White House. That's why Rand Paul, the senator, nearly lost his life. I think there were only a handful of policemen on the scene with him, barely getting him through the mob to his vehicle. And then you saw the scenes the other day. Some of them elderly people exiting the White House, being shouted down with profanity. Antifa thugs getting right up in their face. Well, the mayor of that city is Muriel Bowser. And then in an interview, and I presume it was said in a very nice-sounding, angel-of-light tone, well, you know, Mr. Reporter, what I'm worried about is that this country might descend into a race war. And, of course, the problem is the occupant of the White House. That's what they're all saying. In unison, they all got the memo, and now they're coming out in full force. Yes, it's violent. We know it's hurting us in the polls. But just so that you know, America, it's all Donald Trump's fault. After years of urging the mob, inciting the mob, encouraging the mob, they were doing it just as recently as a week or two ago, but now they're seeing that it hurts them politically. Listen to this montage of the radical left calling for violence, clip one.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Biggest terror threat in this country is white men most of them radicalized right up to the right.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still gonna have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
Look as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
A Missouri state senator is under investigation by the Secret Service after saying she hopes President Trump is assassinated.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
And sadly, the domestic enemies to our voting system and wow. our honoring our Constitution are right at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
They're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not.
If you think we're rallying now, you ain't seen nothing yet.
I ain't seen nothing yet, says Maxine Waters. And these same people now, many of those same voices are saying, wait a second, Donald Trump's inciting violence. The president's inciting violence. Antifa, BLM, they're all on the streets. After hearing this for years, those are politicians that work in Congress. Those are media types at CNN, MSNBC. Vice President Biden said yesterday, does anyone believe there would be less violence in America if Donald Trump is reelected? Are you getting the message? It's going to get worse. You haven't seen anything yet. How do you explain this vile, hateful, irrational, violent resistance against Donald Trump? How do you explain it without the benefit of Bible prophecy? How do you understand where we are in prophecy? Or even, how do you have hope except with God's prophecies? President Trump, as my father has said before, he does a pretty good job of identifying these problems. And I think his discernment is only getting better as he sees just how much more vile and hateful this resistance movement actually is. He said in this interview yesterday on Fox News, clip 5,
I've offered to send in the National Guard. I've offered to send in anybody they want. I could put that out in 45 minutes and it would stop. And I think the people of Portland and the people of Oregon, I know it's a liberal state, considered liberal, they're tired of it. They're tired of having, of living with this curse. They're living with a curse. They say that when you walk through the streets of Portland, this is years and years of burning and...
It's gone on for something like 90 days. They're living under a curse. They want this, or at least they're resisting calls for bringing in help. The president went on to say, clip 6.
They stick up for the violence. They don't, the people that are getting hurt, they don't care about. They don't care about these people. It's a weird thing. It's like warped minds. And for the last 93 days, I've been offering to send, and as you know, they have to take the offer. They have to ask to have help. I've been standing and I've been saying, anytime you're ready, we'll put it out.
What's motivating them, Mr. President?
I think it's a sickness, actually. I think there also, there's a fear.
Sickness and fear. Think Isaiah 1. Sick from head to toe. There's quite a few verses, by the way, too, that talk about just how fearful and mentally unstable we are. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 that we're coming upon perilous times. The Revised Standard Version says, times of stress. Times of stress. Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, talks about the time of gladness of heart. It's over. It's over. Here again, when you understand what's at play here spiritually, it all makes sense, and we know where it's leading. anything and everything. The ends justify the means. So whatever it takes to blot out the presidency, to bring down the system. I mean, these what we're talking about here today, it's proof. It's absolute proof that God did something miraculous in 2016 to just give us one more temporary resurgence before everything comes crashing down. I got into that yesterday. What Mr. Armstrong's prophesied in the U.S. and Britain in prophecy. But look at Satan using all these forces, the major media, the political elites, the Hollywood elites, popular culture, sports stars, as we got into yesterday. This communist infiltration, it's spread all over the country. And there's really only one tiny sector that's standing firm against it. And more than that, he's exposing the devil. And the more the devil is exposed, the more the devil is filled with hatred. He hates everything about our nations, and he wants to destroy them. And he's using all of these forces. MSNBC yesterday, this was a commentator that was speaking about Portland and Kenosha, of all places, and still running with the tag that, you know, it's aside from a few messy spots, it's mostly peaceful. Here's clip three.
That they feel like that there are worried Americans, whether they be suburbanites or seniors or women, whatever it might be, who now are concerned by the scenes of unrest that are being depicted in places like Portland and Kenosha. And to be sure, this is the minority. Most of these protests have been very peaceful.
Most of these protests have been very peaceful, he says. Still, you remember the MSNBC reporter back in June standing in front of the burning building. That's happened now twice. Someone standing in front of destruction saying nothing to worry about here. Mostly peaceful. President Trump in his press conference yesterday, there was a reporter. The reporter, basically, this woman, she says, well, you know, you called out the violence in cities like Portland. I noticed you didn't mention anything about those that are your supporters that are showing up to protest. And listen to this exchange, clip four.
But I noticed you did not mention that your supporters were also in Portland this weekend, firing paintball guns at people, some form of pepper strike. So do you want to also take this chance to condemn what your supporters did?
Well, I understand they had large numbers of people that were supporters, but that was a peaceful protest. And paint is not, and paint is a defensive mechanism. Paint is not bullets. Your supporters, and they are your supporters indeed, shot a young gentleman who and killed him, not with paint, but with a bullet. And I think it's disgraceful. These people, they protested peacefully. They went in very peacefully. And I'll tell you what they're protesting. They're protesting when they turn on television or read whatever they may be reading, and they see a city like Chicago, where 78 people were shot and 13 died, or a city like New York, where the crime rate has gone through the roof, or a city like Portland, where the entire city is ablaze all the time, and a mayor says, we don't want any help from the federal government. When these people turn that on and they see that, they say, this is not our country. This is not our country. That was a peaceful protest.
You see why his approval ratings are going up? Straight up. Straight, here's a reporter saying, well, okay, you criticized Antifa, but what about those militias? Those elusive militias that are roaming the streets. They're armed. They're gunning people. These are the white supremacists, remember? Here, one of these groups, I forget the prayer organization or whatever they're called, a conservative Christian group, that guy's gunned down, and of course the media rushes to make it look like he's a white supremacist. The governor of Oregon, basically implying that he deserved to die because of who he supports. And that's the way this reporter thinks. And there's the president calling her out. Let's talk about your supporters. And they are your supporters indeed. These are supporters of the Biden campaign. That's right. And they have been causing violence, mayhem, and destruction for months now. And the president rightfully says, look, I'll tell you what some of these supporters of mine are concerned about. They're turning on the TV and they're seeing our cities go up in flames. They're seeing our cities destroyed by violence. In the March 2020 Trumpa, this is my father again, he says, all these activities are being exposed, show that in many ways they have already changed this nation from a constitutional republic to a nation governed by something even worse than communist philosophy. Now, he wrote that before the George Floyd incident. But he said, look, the nation's already changed from a constitutional republic. Do you look at Portland and say, yeah, it's a constitutional republic? The Constitution's the supreme law of the land. There's an equal standard of justice for all. The justice system is blind. You can't say those things. You can't look at New York, Chicago, Portland, and say this is a constitutional republic where the rule of law is upheld for everyone. My father said, you can only understand why they have had such success if you recognize the evil, that's speaking of the radical left, if you recognize the evil spiritual power at work, that demonic host of Daniel 8 and verse 12. That's just one of many scriptures. We could point to Revelation 12, Ephesians 2:2 as well. Here's Joe Biden in his speech yesterday, clip 12.
This president long ago forfeited any moral leadership in this country. He can't stop the violence because for years he's fomented it. You know, he may believe mouthing the words law and order makes him strong, but his failure to call on his own supporters to stop acting as an armed militia in this country shows how weak he is.
Right, these rioters, they all have the MAGA hats on. They're destroying shop windows, burning down buildings, surrounding Mayor Ted Wheeler's house in Portland. These are far left thugs, through and through. Mr. Biden went on to say this, clip 13.
We have to stand against violence in every form it takes. Violence we've seen again and again and again of unwarranted police shooting, excessive force. It's getting worse, and you know why. Because Donald Trump adds fuel to every fire. Because he refuses to even acknowledge that there's a racial justice problem in America. Because he won't stand up to any form of violence. He's got no problem with right-wing militia, white supremacists, and vigilantes with assault weapons, often better armed than the police, often in the middle of the violence.
See, just a total inversion of the truth. It's not happening at all the way he's describing it yesterday. It's just the opposite. There haven't even been that many Trumps. There was the one rally in Portland, and that resulted in one of them being killed. For the most part, the story these past 3 months is that these radical left-wing activists have been able to roam the streets of big cities in America and to destroy at will, to do whatever they want with impunity. You look at what's going on. Well, the president in that exchange yesterday on Fox News, he said that with respect to Joe Biden, he didn't even like to mention Joe Biden's name because he doesn't feel like he's the one that's in charge of the party. He's just a puppet. He said these forces, these radical left forces, control him. And they've put him out there, and he looks like, you know, an ordinary Joe. He looks like someone that's moderate. He even said in that speech yesterday. Now, come on, do I look like a radical socialist? He doesn't necessarily, but look at the forces behind him. Look at the spirit behind him. Look at the fruits. The Bible says, judge by fruits. There are some powerful and evil forces that have gotten hold of that party. And we were telling you about this years ago. America under attack. America under attack. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with a few emails that have come in over the last week or so. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Fleury.
Last week, or the week before, we told you about some of these unconstitutional measures that have been put in place in the state of Victoria down in Australia to supposedly fight COVID-19. And this this response comes from one of our listeners in Melbourne, who says, our national conservative government is in name only. Prime Minister Morrison has openly supported Victoria's state of disaster, now in its fourth week. His government has managed to barely suppress its inner bully. By way of example, his government withdrew support for constitutional challenge to the arbitrarily determined and applied hard borders imposed by rampant and authoritarian states, presumably to maintain the COVID consensus between his government and the states. It says the virus has been weaponized and politicized, and the PM unleashed this destruction of economy and people's liberty when he blinked in March. He is, as Elvis would sing, caught in a trap of his own making. It says the healthy are being quarantined from the healthy, yet we have utterly failed to protect those who are actually vulnerable to the virus. The elderly, particularly in care facilities, and those with comorbidities. A national disgrace, he writes. Leadership has been abdicated and delegated to unelected health bureaucrats. Well, this is a story that you see in a lot of nations around the world, not just in Australia, but Australia certainly is one of the worst. It says, in metropolitan Melbourne, not only have we been in a state of some form of lockdown since March, we are now dealing with, for the first time in the history of our nation, a curfew between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. We're only allowed to leave our homes for four permitted reasons, and if one of those reasons is not permitted, for which a worker permit is required, one can only leave the house once each day for up to an hour and can only travel 5 kilometers from one's home. Fines range from $1,600 to upwards of $4,000. A mask face covering must be worn, even outdoors at 6 meters on empty streets. Students have been kept at home. Most people are working from home if they still have a job. All but supermarkets. Other food outlets, petrol stations have closed. Of course, no visitors to premises are permitted. Our garbage bins go out more often than we do. Ironically, you can still visit an intimate partner, and that form of intimacy appears to be absent restrictions around curfew, distance, and time, only from the mind of man. It says, finally, yet, in spite of Wuhan-style lockdowns, where padlocks were placed on the doors of residents, Victoria's corona death toll continues to rise. There are now 438 who are said to have died of the virus, of 525 nationally. So Victoria is very, very similar to New York in the U.S. as the president said yesterday. You take New York out of the equation, and the numbers for the United States, the death toll is actually pretty low, given our population. And it's the same with Australia. The worst of it's been in Victoria, and that's where they've had the most draconian measures in place. Only from the mind of man. It says here, the features of the virus have not altered, however. 99% of people who contract the virus have it in mild form. Of the other 1%, most survive and thrive. It is nonetheless one of the most discriminatory of viruses. It has only affected males and females. No other gender has had a look at. So he's having a little fun with our politically correct culture. But he says finally at the end, all this for an acute flu. Well, I just got through one, but it was a good one at that. We'll try to get through some more emails perhaps later this week. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.